So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Many of you at this table and the folks that you work with have a history of doing work on this continent, and we will benefit, I strongly believe, from hearing from you and from lessons learned.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Head over to StuDoesMerch.com, use the promo code STU10 and save 10%. If you're watching on YouTube, like the video right now. Just do it now. Don't wait till the end of the show. The rest of the show might suck, but this moment is really good, so click like. Dan Andros is going to be here to tell us what happens when women's championship basketball smack talk gets real. Donald Trump heads to New York for his arraignment, and the media breathes a sigh of relief that their jobs are easy again. But we start by doing the Transgender Day of Visibility. Yes, everyone. Did you get your tree up? Did you celebrate over the weekend? I hope you did. It was the International Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, let me ask you a sort of unrelated question. When you want to know what the weather's like, what do you do? Go on, maybe you're watching some local TV. You see the broadcast there. Maybe you flip on an app. Maybe you're looking at your Amazon-based voice. I just don't want to say her name because I know it'll set off all your devices. That thing. Maybe ask that thing. Maybe ask Siri what's going on, right? Maybe you could go to the National Weather Service Twitter feed. And I would say you might think to yourself, well, what's the temperature on this very beautiful International Transgender Day of Visibility? In fact, what's the visibility on the Transgender Day of Visibility? I don't know. And let's go check the National Weather Service Twitter feed. Here's the information you get. To promote justice, equality, and equity for the transgender community, the National Weather Service family champions and stands alongside our transgender employees on this day and every day. Hashtag Trans Day of Visibility. All right. Okay. I don't see why. Tell us what the weather is. Why don't people, there's that old Bill Belichick thing. Just do your job. Does anyone just do their job anymore? Everyone has to comment on everything. Shut up. Stop commenting on things. Maybe some things we don't want to hear from you about. Is that possible? How many transgender employees really work at the National Weather Service? Are there any? Is there one? Is there five? I mean, look, I guess it's your Twitter feed. You could do whatever you want. But is this really what we need the National Weather Service to be chiming in on? Really? Of course, Biden has got involved as well. He marked International Transgender Day of Visibility by blasting Republicans targeting trans youth. Of course, this is just a playbook, right? The playbook exists. You know to go to it at any point, no matter what happens. You just go and blame Republicans. We'll get into how deep and dark that whole process is gone as well. But we did get luckily a message from maybe the most high-profile transgendered person in our government. And there are just so many.
Happy Transgender Day of Visibility. I am Admiral Rachel Levine, the Assistant Secretary for Health at the Department of Health and Human Services. For the second year in a row, the transgender flag is flying above our department in Washington, D.C.
Great news.
And this is an affirmation of the administration's support for the transgender community and across the nation, as well as our support for evidence-based gender-affirming care.
We'll get into what maybe Rachel said here in a moment, but keep that visual of Rachel Levine in your head for just a second and think about the name International Transgender Day of Visibility. We can tell. Visibility is not the problem here. We are well aware. We are 100% sure what's going on, and we are fully aware that you fall into the T in the LGBTQQIA2+ community acronym. The visibility is right there for all of us to see. So that one, you've solved it. If your idea was to make sure that trans people can be seen, we can tell. Mission accomplished. Now, 60 Minutes had an intriguing segment this weekend. They decided to talk to some parents, and they had some interesting thoughts. The headline, 60 Minutes praises they bees and the parents who raise their children with no gender. If you could keep this on the screen here for a minute, it's pretty interesting because, first of all, I don't know what they bees are. But secondly, I want to make sure you note the ad to the side of the screen. Try not to gasp. What strange stuff can you only see in Dallas? And every time you see an ad like this, I want you to remember there's a reason it's on the screen. It's because it's targeted to my producer. Someone out there, the internet never gets anything wrong. All these AI algorithms are working together to say, what does Stu's producer want to see? And that is what they picked. So every time you see an ad, remember what's going on here. The internet has perfectly delineated the tastes of my producer and is putting it on the screen for your enjoyment. 60 Minutes had a great, great segment. And they just wanted to inform you that, yeah, you know what babies are. Those are boring. Who needs them? In fact, we should just kill them before they're born, because that's a rational policy we should all accept. We should act like that's a human right. Let's do that first. But babies are boring. You certainly better not kill babies. I will say this before we get to this clip. I would love to see the debate of whether you're allowed to abort a baby because they're a baby. Because a baby is something different than a baby, as you're about to discover.
It might sound extreme, but it's happening all around the world.
We're not trying to eliminate gender. We're actually trying to show how limitless gender can be, right? And just really helping kids find their own path to it and follow their lead so that they feel comfortable and authentic.
That's important.
In America, someone who knows how it's done is gender creative parenting guru and social scientist Dr. Kyle Myers.
Dr. Kyle.
7 years ago, Kyle.
Kyle.
And her Australian husband Brent had their first baby, Zuma.
Yay, Zuma!
Zuma.
Yay.
We didn't assign a gender at birth, and we didn't disclose Zuma's reproductive anatomy to people who didn't need to know. The reproductive anatomy that my kiddo was born with, I didn't want to assign too many labels and assumptions and, you know, destinies on top of that.
Right, that would be really weird. Because what you're doing is not weird, but that would be weird. It would be really weird to have a gender and stick to it your whole life. That would be very, very weird. This is a baby, not a baby. A baby is, I guess, a baby that is born and you tell people if it's a boy or a girl. A baby can just be anything. You don't, everything's like yellow, a pale yellow, and you just kind of roll through life in pale yellow and see how it works. A little bit more from our fabulous Australian family.
Kyle has become the poster person for this unconventional parenting style, writing a best-selling book about her own experience.
Shocking, she's profiting.
So you believe that if you're born with a penis, doesn't necessarily make you a boy.
Right. So a lot of people who are born with penises identify as a boy.
Yeah,
and a lot of people who are born with vulvas identify as a girl.
Yeah,
the big part in that is because they're assigned the boy and girl labels, right?
Oh.
And they're socialized as such.
Nope.
Isn't that confusing for a little child?
I think it's actually more confusing to make children think that what the 8 billion people on the planet all neatly fit into one of two boxes.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. That's kind of the way it works. And it's important, of course, to know for medical reasons and so many other reasons. You need to know. I mean, you know, this has happened where people have died because of this. People have, women who are women and are pregnant have gone into hospitals and they identify as men and the baby dies because the doctors don't know what could be causing this pain in this region. Oh my gosh, they find out later, oh, it's actually someone who's pregnant. Now, did they know and just not want to say they knew it was a woman and you're probably pregnant? Possibly. but that has actually happened. And it'll continue to happen as this gets more and more blown out of proportion. Of course, whenever you bring up anything like this, you know you're a transphobe, you're a phobe, you're phobic of phobias. And the transphobic label is being thrown around like crazy right now, largely recently, I guess, because of the shooting in Nashville, which is interesting. Trans people face rhetoric and disinformation after the shooting. Now, I don't want to be delicate here, I will be honest with you. I don't want to be delicate, so why should I be? But I will say this. Is it really a big part of this story, even if it's true that trans people are facing rhetoric after a shooting? A bunch of school children that were 9 years old were murdered at school. Why the hell is transphobia part of that story? Now, if some evil right-winger Christian went into a school of transgendered people and murdered them because they transgendered, well, then this story might very well make some sense. We actually would all, I think Christians would agree and all go along and say, you know what, that's terrible. That shouldn't be done. That person who did that is not someone we would consider a Christian at all, because that's so against the teachings of what we would consider rational thought among Christians and Christianity in general. But, like, isn't it kind of weird that the coverage about a shooting of a bunch of school children who are Christian is about the terror and horror that transgendered people are facing, considering it was a transgendered person who actually murdered the children? Should we not maybe come together and recognize the victims of this story are not transgendered people, but they are Christian children and teachers at a Christian school? Shouldn't that be the focus of our horror today? And instead, it's the other way around. We're supposed to feel sympathy for transgendered people in this moment. Now, look, if someone is saying, well, all transgendered people are bad and therefore we should be, you know, brutal to them in some terrible way, and using this as evidence that all transgendered people act this way, obviously that's not true and that would be wrong. But it's not really part of this story whatsoever. Part of the story that's interesting here, and the part of the story that should move people, is the fact that a bunch of kids were murdered. It's what moved me about Newtown. I don't agree with the solutions that the left presents for, you know, what has happened in some of our school shootings over the years, but it kills me to see that go on. It kills everybody, I think. But in this case, these victims get no attention, no love, no sympathy. These families are not the ones we're supposed to mourn for. It's people who have the same gender philosophy as the murderer. We saw protesters in Nashville holding up seven fingers to indicate all of the seven victims of this shooting. Six who were actually shot by the murderer and one who was the murderer. We're supposed to now celebrate the murderer in this case. And let me ask you this. If a right-wing person went in and murdered a bunch of transgendered people, what would the media coverage look like? It would look a lot like this coverage. Wow, look at all the terrible things that are happening to transgendered people. And it would make sense in that context to cover that angle of the story. But when it's reversed, and a transgender person goes in and murders Christian children, why does the coverage look exactly the same? It shouldn't be the same. It's not the same story. Why does the coverage look exactly the same when a transgendered person is the one doing the murdering? Have we lost our minds? This is despicable. The media has done a lot of low and despicable things over the years, but ignoring the plight and the horror of families who lost their children at school in favor of a narrative of bad words being said on Twitter against transgendered people might be the lowest that they can go. And I say that often being corrected days later by the new low that they've created for themselves. This is a litany of pathetic, pathetic moments in the way that our media and our president, remember, our president came out just a couple days after this happened and begged for you to worry about transgendered people. Look, I worry about all people. Transgender people are among those people. I worry for them, too. I don't want violence to happen to anybody. But that is not what this story was about. And we're at the point now where we're talking about they-bees. We're talking about how transgender people are not getting enough love and support from the community, when I would ask you to point to a period in human history in any other nation or this one where they got more accepting behavior. That's never occurred. We are at the peak right now of acceptance of transgenderism, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. The bottom line, though, is when a bunch of school children get killed in a school, the media should not be running to the same well, the same playbook to beg for us to not be mean to transgendered people. Same thing that happened when we had Islamic extremist attacks and we got the pitch that we were supposed, don't be mean to Islamic people. Well, of course you shouldn't be mean to unrelated Islamic people. Of course. Obviously, we all know that. But that is not what the story is about. It's about an extremist ideology. And what we see here with transgendered people in general is something that is really going over the line here. Children are not even being told their own genders. And when you talk to the extreme aspects of this, which we've seen a few times lately, there is a part of this movement that is turning violent. And the media seems to be cheering it on. That really needs to stop. We've lost our minds as a country. And you know what? Sometimes it sounds a little bit mean. Sometimes it ruffles some feathers. But the truth can't just die. You have to say what is true. We can't just make up crap and design and redesign and redesign again all of humanity every 4 days when someone tweets something new. That's not the way civilizations survive. And we will not survive as a civilization if we continue to go down these roads. Inflation has consequences. It does. Yes, I know. We all lived in that MMT world for a while. Oh, modern monetary theory will come and save the day. We can print money forever. Well, no. We got the inflation kick that we all kind of predicted. And as the Fed raises interest rates to combat that out-of-control government spending, long-term bonds have diminished in value, crippling banks. Depositors are holding their breath, and investors are bailing on bank stocks. Diversification has never been more important. And we've seen that now with the recent surge in gold prices. It's directly tied to all this volatility. That's why gold has historically been a great hedge against whatever's going on in the stock market and against inflation in general. Now would be a great time to diversify into gold with Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert into an IRA or 401k, into an IRA, into precious metals. Look, all you have to do is get the info on this and really understand it. Text STU to the number 989898 and get a free info kit on gold. It'll help you convert your existing IRA or 401k that's tied to a volatile market into an IRA in physical precious metals, gold and silver. And the best part, it's tax sheltered. You can text STU to the number 989898 and get your free info kit on gold today. They got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, countless five-star reviews. You're going to love dealing with Birch Gold. It's STU, that's my name, to the number 989898. Text it there today. It's Birch Gold.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal S. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
Okay, I want to say something that's going to drag you in. That's my job as a broadcaster. I want to draw you in. I want to keep you here. So I'm going to tell you, we're about to talk about women's basketball. So I know you're locked in now. I want to bring in Dan Andros. He's the managing editor of FaithWire.com and host of the Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to now wherever you get your podcast. Dan, how's it going?
It's going great. If you would have had this on my 2023 bingo card that you and me would be talking about women's basketball, wouldn't have had it. Wouldn't have guessed it.
I thought the same thing. We've been watching basketball together since we were kids. I mean, 30 plus years now. Never did I think I would say this, and I want to see if you agree with this. I think the women's tournament has more juice in it right now than the men's tournament does.
It did. I mean, and mostly because of one player. But there were some good games on the men's side, but there weren't any. I mean, there were some great games, but it didn't have like the personalities, the players. And at least the women's tournament had one.
Yeah.
Drew me in. I would have never watched this thing if it wasn't for her.
And I went from having no knowledge and watching 0 minutes of of women's basketball this entire year to fully on the Caitlin Clark mania.
Yes.
I went from 0 to 60 really quick on this. But I think it's a fascinating story. If you don't know, basically Caitlin Clark is a women's basketball player. She plays for Iowa. Iowa made a big run in the women's tournament. And she's a pretty special player in that she like is bombing threes from near half court almost on every play.
Which we love. That's what we love.
That's what I love about basketball. I love the offensive show. And, you know, this is she looks like basically how I would have played in high school if I were good. I took those same shots. I just missed them.
You tried.
You were there. Dan actually took them and made them, but I took them and missed them. And that's basically how we played. So we kind of got into this, and it was interesting to watch. It really did draw me in. She gets the ball almost on every play. And there's something charming about just the whole thing in that, like, she doesn't look like a superstar athlete. She looks like a girl I would have sat next to in accounting class.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's very unassuming. It's that John Stockton sort of looks just like a businesswoman or something like that. And then she just runs around. I mean, she's not jumping out of the gym or anything. She's pretty quick, but she just runs around firing it off from everywhere, making good plays. So yeah, it's interesting. It's just compelling to watch.
Yeah. Now, obviously this is just a bizarre thing to talk about women's basketball, but the reason we bring it up is because there's a larger cultural thing attached to it here. Because Caitlin Clark, the Iowa won their Final Four game, went to the finals, wound up losing in the finals. And in the finals, there's a sort of a turn here. LSU's Angel Reese answers critics of her title game taunt. She says, "I'm going to be me." And what I think is interesting about that is, first of all, look, I'm sorry if you're an LSU women's basketball fan. No one's going to remember you on this title. No one cares. If you have followed women's basketball forever, maybe you care. Nobody else cares. Everyone's going to remember this as the Caitlin Clark tournament. And she brought in a lot of new fans to this. And there's this idea that they were attacking her at the end of this game, kind of mocking her. And frankly, I'm fine with a little trash talk. Dan, we went back to the day. We watched Jordan play. Larry Bird was your favorite player back in the day. Kings of trash talking. I have no problem with trash talking whatsoever. Nope. I think what bothers me here is the self-victimization, right? There's always this aspect where people just constantly create this mythical vision of them being disrespected and victimized by everyone else around them. Let me give you this quote, and I want you to comment on this phenomenon. This is from the article from the Washington Post. "All year, I was critiqued about who I was," Reese said, who was named as a first-team All-American for her season-long production. I don't know. It seems like people kind of recognized you were good the whole year.
Yeah. I mean, it's very bizarre. Like, I was watching, I think we were texting, like, before the game, LSU is, like, talking about how they were mad at Iowa for the way they played defense against South Carolina. They packed it in the paint because South Carolina had a bunch of, like, 7-foot-tall girls. And they were like, that was disrespectful. Like, what do you mean it's disrespectful? It's a strategy. Like, make your shot. Yeah. And also, that wasn't you. That wasn't your team. Whatever. If that gets you pumped up for the game, then great. Congratulations, you got pumped up. But where it really got weird was at the end, Stu, because Reese did she like followed Caitlin Clark, who, if we're talking about double standards here, Caitlin Clark got called for a technical foul for throwing, just kind of flicking the ball away.
Yeah.
very minor thing, and they instantly called a technical foul on her, a huge part of the game. And now Reese, at the end of the game, there's a couple seconds left, she's following Caitlin Clark and doing the "you can't see me" thing, which she was taunting because Caitlin Clark had done that a couple games earlier briefly, but it went viral because she was walking off the court and she went like that. But Caitlin Clark wasn't doing it at anyone. She was just, from the best of my knowledge, just did this kind of, and I don't know why she chose that, but she was walking off the court, not directing at any team. Certainly not anyone on LSU, because they were playing Louisville a couple games earlier when this happened. And so she's pointing at her, the game's over, and she's like going "ring" and like making these really just mean faces. And it's like, the game is over. And so I tweeted that this was classless, and that was actually trending, classless was. And everyone's like, oh, so when one girl does it, it's okay, and then the other one does it, it's not okay. And I'm banging my head against the wall because I'm like, these are not the same thing. Like you said, trash talk during the game is fine. Like, if you were going back and forth with Caitlin Clark during the game and having a duel, and she's doing this, and then you do it back, everyone understands that. That's completely normal. You did nothing the whole game. Wait till the end of the game when it's over. The horse is dead. The horse is completely dead. There's a corpse on the ground. And then you walk over and start kicking it. Like, that's classless. I'm sorry. That's not normal trash talk. And everyone's like, oh, but when the women do it, then you complain. But when the men do it, nobody says anything. And I'm going to tell you why nobody has to say anything when the men do it. Because I guarantee you, Stu, if a dude tried to do what Reese did to Caitlin Clark, it would get dealt with right then and there.
Oh yeah.
You would get punched in the face and you'd be throwing down if you tried to do that to somebody after a game when it's over.
Right, because that's like the super safe time to trash talk when the other team can't do anything about it, right? Like, to do something in that moment, you want to trash talk someone, you trash talk them as the game's going on. When the game's already over, and there's no way.
Hands.
Right. It's like, it's just pathetic. I mean, look, they're learning, I suppose. Maybe women are learning how to do this. I mean, they're usually a lot nicer. Maybe that's.
But what's interesting to me, Stu, is the reaction, like you were saying, because I tweeted that it was classless, but it's like, I'm not outraged by it. It's just like, I just thought, like it was whatever. Like, it, you shouldn't have done it. It was classless, right? Like, I'm not throwing her out and like criticize. But then everyone's jumping in and saying, wait a minute. This double standard, and of course implying a race thing, like, no, it does. It has nothing to do with her race. It was just the action. And it's, the whole thing is ridiculous that people, they just jump into their narratives without, it's that same thing we always talk about. You don't look at an actual situation and evaluate it. You think about your narrative and then you try to make it fit.
Yeah, there's something about the human brain that does this. If they're like, if you're walking through the woods, a forest, and there is a path that's well-worn through the forest, you're likely to go that way, right? You're not going to cut a new path through a bunch of trees where there's nowhere to go. You're going to follow the path that has already been done. And the race thing has already been done. It's pre-built into this. And there was all the coverage leading in. I think some of the announcing in the middle of the game was like this. It was pointing to the idea that Caitlin Clark is America's sweetheart because she's white. And these other girls on this other team, LSU, who are even beating them, still no one cares about them because they're black. Now, of course, this is an insane narrative. As they pointed out, Caitlin Clark broke all the records of Cheryl Swoopes, who was the last time I remember this being sort of a phenomenon, when we were, you know, probably in high school, and she was black. Diana Taurasi was born in Argentina. She's like, a lot of the female stars have gone this way. This one just happens to be white. And because of that, the race thing has to be part of it. And honestly, the LSU players brought this to the forefront in their post-game comments. I want to play this for you. This is the same player, Angel Reese, who again, like, combine Dan here and watch for this. Both the victimization, the self-victimization, oh, everyone's against me, everyone's criticizing me all the time, and then, of course, the very, very not so subtle racist accusations. Watch.
I'm happy. I mean, all year I was critiqued about who I was.
What?
Nobody. I don't. The narrative. I don't
what
fit
narrative?
The narrative.
Just saying
I don't
words.
Fit in the box that y'all want me to be in.
What box? What are you talking about?
I'm too
about?
Hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year.
Who told you that all year? Who told you were too ghetto all year? Who told
y'all
you that?
Y'all don't say nothing. So this was for the girls that look like me, that's going to speak up on what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did it for tonight. This was for the more than, it was just bigger than me tonight. It was bigger than me. Twitter is going to go in a rage every time. And I mean, I'm happy. I feel like I've helped grow women's basketball this year. I'm super happy and excited. So I'm looking forward to celebrating in the next season.
Allow me, Dan, quickly to point one thing out. And this may be a controversial statement. I don't know why it is, but it may be controversial. Mm-hmm. Black people do not all look alike. Because you're black and you're saying all the people that look like me, they don't look like you. They look like other individual black people. And you look like yourself. That's it.
Yes.
That's not how people, no race all looks alike. Can we stop saying that?
Right. Yes, I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to take it a step further here, Stu. Is she trying to say that there's some big problem with acceptance of black players in basketball? I would say it's probably the reverse. Try being a white guy and playing in a basketball game. And I mean, we've all been there as a decent guy at basketball who's white, and you get in a game where the majority players are not white. Guess who is getting all the criticism and getting all the taunts and all the jeers and everything else? Like,
none of the shots.
You.
And none of the
yes,
shots.
So
unless it's in a wide open 15 footer, that's about all you get.
That's about all you get. So, but I mean, she's sitting here trying to say, like, for all the people who look like everyone in the sport, right. I mean, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
That's a great point. Look, I mean, we can all agree there have been lots of prejudices in this world in the past, especially. It's you know, not as bad as it once was. But like, really, for a long time, there hasn't been a lot of that as players in basketball. That's just really not been a thing. I mean, we live in a country where 13% of the population is black, and I believe 75% of the NBA players are black. I just don't like, and it's also just this thing. This is a woman who has, and she's in college. You could tell she's obviously been.
I did dumb things. Look, I'm glad the things I did when I was in 20 and said when I was in 20 aren't on the air everywhere. I mean,
it's totally true.
I'm glad.
Like, you can tell, like, this is not someone who maybe has put a lot of deep thought into these issues. I got it. But like, you know, it's like this is a highly celebrated athlete. She's a first team All-American. She won, I believe, the outstanding player of the game or the tournament. I don't know. She was one of the...
Not the game. It couldn't have been the game. That would be a travesty. That would be 45.
There you go. But the bottom line is, this is a person who is highly... And expected, I understand, by watching the coverage, to be the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. This is not someone who is oppressed. This is someone who is widely celebrated for her athletic abilities. Yeah. And the fact that, like, they want to turn this into a race issue, they want to turn it into a victimization issue, they want to turn it into, like, Caitlin Clark is bad because what? Because she's good at a sport? Yeah. Is she allowed to be? I mean, this is just ridiculous, ridiculous narrative.
It is. And, like, Caitlin Clark didn't even know that she was doing that. Like, that was, like, the funny thing to me is that Reese was so irrelevant in the game that at the end, when she was trying to even taunt, nobody noticed it. I mean, Clark just completely ignored it and didn't even see it. But to me, this reeks of she knows she looks bad. And this is just trying to, like, wiggle out of it.
Yeah.
Like, it just was not a good look to do the taunt after the game. But the timing of it really is the problem with it for me, and the unrelatedness to anything that, like, Caitlin Clark did literally nothing to her that I'm aware of at all. And when she did it in the Louisville game, Caitlin Clark, it was apparently because they were talking trash at her the whole game. And so she just did the one little gesture. And it's like, that's completely the reasonable and the time to do it in the game when you're lighting things up and you're going off and they're trash talking at you. That's when you do it. Not after the game. Somebody completely who did nothing to you directly. I mean, unless she said stuff during the game, which she hasn't said. She said that at all.
No,
it makes no sense. It just is ridiculous. It makes no sense.
All right, and I'll leave you with this. This is, by the way, Caitlin Clark's response to this. All you can do is hold your head high, be proud of what you did, and all the credit of the world to LSU. They were tremendous. They deserve it. And honestly, I had no idea. I was just trying to spend the last few moments on the court with especially the five people I've started 93 games with and relishing every second of that. That's class. That's what that is.
What a villain.
Yeah,
but a villain.
In this one. All right, Dan Andrews, managing editor of FaithWire.com. Dan, we just did 15 minutes on women's basketball. Who
women's basketball,
possible?
I know. That's a record.
I'm going to tune into Quick Start tomorrow. I assume there's going to be expanded coverage on this topic. Dan Andrews, thanks for coming on the program.
All right, thanks, guys.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Now, I don't know if you're going to New York to protest, but New York police are ready to respond to your protests at the Trump arraignment. You, as we know, you're very likely to raid a building, maybe burn it to the ground. That's the type of person you are. Look, I know you. You're just like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, said to Marjorie Taylor Greene that she needed to be on her best behavior if she's going to come protest, which is totally normal. This is all normal, guys. Just get used to it. This is all very, very normal. Media organizations, including CNN, are seeking to unseal the Trump indictment and asked to broadcast the proceedings Tuesday. Of course, they want to milk this for everything it's worth. They have had terrible ratings lately. They want to make this into as big a deal as possible so that you're constantly talking about them and Trump. And I mean, it puts asses in the seats. We know that's true. It's what Trump has said since the beginning, and he's 100% right on that. Trump lawyers are opposing the cameras at the arraignment, at least publicly, warning of a circus-like atmosphere. Now, look, Trump did a lot of good things in office. There's a lot of good things you can say about him. Maybe there's even a couple bad things you could say about him. But one thing you could say for sure is he absolutely adores the circus-like atmosphere. This is what he's made his whole life on. His whole life has been a circus-like atmosphere since he came in the public eye in, like, the 70s. He just doesn't want cameras around. Of course he wants cameras around. He knows how to dominate a media cycle. It's hilarious to watch this happen. And now Trump today flew from Florida up until New York. And what did the coverage look like? Do you remember the O.J. Bronco chase? Do you remember Michael Jackson dying? And do you remember the overhead flyover L.A. car chase videos from back in the day? Princess Diana's funeral. It was that type of coverage. Multiple helicopters up in the sky watching the car go from Mar-a-Lago to the airport. Everyone watching the plane hit the ground at the airport and taxi to the runway. And the car drive from there to Trump Tower. Now, look, if Donald Trump did not want this to occur, how would he proceed in this moment? Maybe instead of flying the giant jet with his name on the side, maybe he'd, I don't know, go to NetJets and get a smaller jet to kind of fly in under the radar and maybe around 1 a.m. get on it and fly there and land around 4 a.m. and then get to his hotel or his the Trump Tower before anyone even knows he's there. He could have done that. He didn't do that because, of course, he wants this entire day to be dominated by everyone looking at his plane as if something important was going on, which, by the way, it's not. Him flying from Florida to New York is not at all interesting. We all know what's going to go on here. What's interesting, of course, is the larger case that they want to milk as well. And what's funny about this, and I find it just to be absolutely hilarious, is that Donald Trump is so good at manipulating these people, they're falling into all of the same traps that they fell back into in 2015 all the way up until today, which is when Donald Trump wants to be on TV, they're going to put him on TV. They're going to act like they're getting him. Oh, we're getting Donald Trump this time. When they all know this is going to help him in the primary, it's going to help his chances to become president of the United States, in my view. Certainly, to get to the point where he's the Republican nominee, this is nothing but good for him. And putting him on TV like they used to air every one of his speeches is just another step in Donald Trump fan service, essentially. People hate him on one side, so they got to have him on TV all the time so they can say how much they hate him and they can say how bad it is and what a wonderful thing this is that they finally arrested this obvious criminal. And on the other side, everyone gets so upset about how, oh, I can't believe they're arresting this guy, which is really unprecedented and something incredibly notable. But the bottom line is this is just expert media manipulation by Donald Trump. I can tell you with 100% certainty that it was people in the Trump camp that leaked his exact departure time, that leaked his exact flight plans, that leaked exactly where he was going, so all these helicopters would be up there at the right time. I mean, listen to Maggie Haberman talk about this. She acts as if, and she is, in contact with Donald Trump regularly. This is a person who writes nonstop hate about Donald Trump, and yet he still talks to her because he loves this stuff. And he knows that he is dominating the media cycle right now. And this is nothing but good for his fundraising, good for his campaign, and he is trolling them to the ends of the earth. So you give Donald Trump a heck of a lot of credit there, but I will say I'm very, very concerned about all these helicopters overhead, watching this car, driving from Mar-a-Lago, then in New York, overhead. Think of all the fuel they're using. Think of the emissions. Think of the damage being done to our Earth. This is the largest existential threat to our society. Yet somehow it justifies having 5 helicopters in the sky to take pictures of a car driving through Manhattan. It's almost like they don't actually believe any of the crap they're spewing. Well, remember the Chinese spy balloon? The Chinese weather balloon. I'm sorry. I know they told us it was a weather balloon. And a lot of people on the left and some people even on the right were telling us, by the way, just what makes you believe that was a spy balloon? I don't know. It seems a little peculiar. But then we were told, okay, maybe they were going after some spy type data. They were trying to get some data up back to the Chinese military. But Biden stepped in and he acted quickly and he blocked all of that data. Update to that story weeks later when no one's talking about it anymore. The Chinese spy balloon gathered intelligence from sensitive U.S. military sites despite U.S. efforts to block it. Shocking shot. They're actually saying, I remember initially it was just a weather balloon. It's blowing around wherever it blows. What's the big deal? They now have information that it was doing actual figure eights around military establishments. Ooh, the wind. That's a weird wind. It's a weird wind. It's almost like they were just flying over there to try to get more data. Who knew? Also, we do have a new entry into the Republican presidential race. Asa Hutchinson has announced his 2024 presidential bid, and he says Trump should drop out of the race. Good luck with that. That's really it's going to be likely. Now, he would come from the anti-Trump moderate sort of wing of the party here, Larry Hogan, who's already said he's not going to run. Liz Cheney, who's not even a Republican, probably not going to run either. If from that realm, right, someone who's going to come out and be highly critical of Trump, there's not really any room for that in the Republican Party right now. I mean, I think anybody who wants to run should be able to run if he thinks he has an argument. If he really wants to have 0% in a couple primaries, he has the right to do so. But, like, there's just the appetite is not there among primary voters for a candidate like Asa Hutchinson right now. This will likely be something to raise his profile, and that's about it. And it won't raise it very high. It certainly will not go as high as a Chinese spy balloon. Okay, so here's what happened. You ever have that moment where maybe you're in college, and you maybe did a power hour the night before, and you wake up in the morning, you're all hungover, and you just got to get some food down your throat, and you're stumbling around your dorm, and you see that cup of noodles, the ramen noodles from last night sitting there, and you're just like, this sounds like a terrible idea, but I'm going to go for it anyway, and you slurp down the ramen noodles. That sounds like a terrible idea, and usually is, but you know who disagrees with the idea that it's a terrible, terrible concept? The people who make ramen noodles. Yes, the cup of noodles people have introduced cup of noodles breakfast. Cup of noodles breakfast, maple syrup, pancakes, sausage and egg, ramen noodles and sauce. Now, they're saying it's a limited edition, but this is obviously going to catch on really, really fast. And I will say, if one of these flavors is something that I can actually eat, I will taste test it for you on Stu Eats America. I'll give it a shot just to see. Breakfast noodles. I mean, what do they think of next? Nick writes in a YouTube comment. Stu, I really look forward to Veep Thoughts. They are so inspiring. It's a true community service. That's true. By the way, you can go to veepthoughts.com and see the entire series. I think we're over 40 of these things now. Idiotic moments from Kamala Harris for everyone in your life to enjoy. It's veepthoughts.com. We encourage you to share them. See you tomorrow.